This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. In our attempts each day to understand some of the expectations and feelings of the Americans who voted in the 2016 election and are eager for President Donald Trump to now make good on some of his even more controversial campaign pledges, we spoke with Norm Crider on the program yesterday. I don't know if you heard it. He's a Marine Corps veteran and supporter of this week's Trump immigration order. He, along with 49% of Americans polled by Reuters this week, on some level support that Trump order, while a still sizable 41% of Americans oppose it to varying degrees. I asked Norm Crider if he felt safer with this order in place and if it was worth it to disadvantage people coming to America from Muslim-majority countries to make the country safe. This was his response.
I question why people from a culture that's very different than the normal culture of America want to come halfway around the world when they could maybe seek asylum in a country more close to their home, more culturally in tune with who they are. I question why they come here. I think we need to question why America? Why do they want to come here?
You use the word normal culture of America. What do you mean by that?
Well, the normal cultures of America, Muslims do not make up a very large percentage of this country. It's a very, very small minority of people who believe in Islam.
Fastest growing religion in the U.S.
It is. And a lot of that is because we've opened the door and we're allowing thousands and thousands of people to come here that believe this religion.
Now, Norm Crider was speaking from Joplin, Missouri. Many of you were upset by his comments about what constitutes a normal America. And on our website, one listener wrote that she was appalled by Mr. Crider's regurgitation of misinformation about Muslims. Many people said that it was wrong of us to even have allowed him to speak those values about Muslims. Hussein Rashid is professor of religion at Barnard and a Truman National Security Fellow. He's joined by Jerusha Lamptey, a professor of Islam at Union Theological Seminary here in New York and author of the book Never Wholly Other. Jerusha and Hussein, welcome.
Thanks for having us on.
Your impressions of what Norm Crider said. Again, he's a military veteran and speaks from his perspective from a very high moral ground.
You know, first I want to start by thanking Marine Crider for his service. And I firmly believe that one of our values is freedom of speech. He has every right to believe what he does and say it. And I think it highlights a lot of the issues we have about educating about American values, even within some branches of the military or some, for some service members in the military, as well as about Islam more broadly. When we think about why people want to come to America, it is about those values. Nobody asked, why did the pilgrims come here when the native culture was so different? And I think that it also, when we say we swear an oath of allegiance to the Constitution in whatever public service role we choose to take on, that we hold those values as a symbol and as an emblem to the rest of the world. We want to be that shining beacon on the hill. We want to accept other people. And I find it fascinating that we're worried about Muslims coming over today as though we cared about when we brought over so many slaves who were Muslim. There was no religious litmus test at that point. And I think we have to understand the ways in which America has formed and worked historically.
Jerusha.
I would agree with Hussein that it's very important to respect and acknowledge freedom of speech. It's one of the values that people who do come here come seeking and that people who live here, I think, generally uphold and value. That being said, I also think it's important for people to hear this kind of sentiment because it is pervasive. I encounter it all the time in classrooms, in public settings. What I would
outside
say
outside of Joplin, Missouri, it's not a,
outside
it's not
of right. it. Yeah. Yeah. And why I think it's important to encounter is because we can only begin to untangle it and to provide more education about the diversity of Islam and about the fact that, yes, cultures look different, but that's nothing new in this country. That's actually what's made this country beautiful. Different people coming from different backgrounds. And on top of that, I would echo the sentiment that it also betrays a lack of knowledge about the fact that there are so many Muslims here. And so this portrayal of people coming from over there or not the normal thing is a stereotype that needs to be undone.
Outraged? Did it hit you in the gut yesterday when you heard that?
You know, when I listened to the segment, I don't feel outraged. I think I want to echo Jerusha that as an educator, this is something that comes across my radar quite a bit. It's a lot of what is in the air. People think there's only one way to be American. I'm a born and bred New Yorker. The first thing you learn growing up in this city is that there's a way to be American for every person who lives here. And I think that sometimes we forget that. And one of the most important things I teach my students is that the hardest part of human existence is learning how to deal with difference. And if we've never dealt with difference before, it becomes a frightening thing. And I remember FDR's, you know, famous statement, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
The man who put Japanese people in concentration camps.
The man who put Japanese people in internment camps, right, exactly. And so that we can have this soaring rhetoric and we can have these horrible realities. But I think part of my obligation as an American citizen is to fight for the values and ideals that we believe in. It's that Langston Hughes moment, let America be America again, that we should be able to criticize this country as part of our patriotic duty to say that we haven't lived up to our ideals, but that our ideals are worth fighting for and trying to live up to. But part of that means acknowledging where we've made mistakes rather than making those mistakes worse.
For me, I don't think it hits me as something harsh for the same reason I encounter it frequently. The wearing of a piece of fabric on my head is an immediate indicator to people that I'm somehow foreign. So I will frequently walk down the street and have people say to me, how did you learn to speak English so well? Well, I don't know. It might have been the 400 years of my family being here speaking English. So there's this immediate signification that if you are Muslim, you're somehow not like us or not from here. What I would say is it doesn't hurt me as much as disappoint me, because I think that we are better than this as people, but also in this country. We have done this, demonize and dehumanize groups of people collectively. Historically, as you point out, with Japanese internment, but obviously that's not the only case. It was with the Irish, with my family who came as Irish people here. We need to learn not to do that.
All right. So here's the challenge for, I think, all three of us. We're speaking on a public radio station. Public, the idea of public is very important, I think, in this particular conversation. How do we respond to Norm Kreider's sentiments, his feelings that he wants America to be safe more than anything else, maybe even more than some of these values that you espouse? How do we respond to him without demonizing him, without suggesting that he's not welcome in this tent of public radio discussion, that he's wrong?
I personally think the way to do that is to go for the underlying values. He spoke about safety. I don't know anyone who does not want to be safe. I walk with my child down the street, and I want her to be safe. I don't want anyone to harm her. That is a shared value that I don't know anyone who wouldn't assent to that. When we think our safety only comes at making other people victims, that, I think, is where we need to have a conversation. And so, for me, one of the concrete things that we can do to have a more productive conversation is to start to understand these anti-Muslim sentiments or this collective responsibility. It is somewhat of a form of bias. It's stereotyping a whole entire group of people. And we can identify shared values that could be more forceful than that desire.
And we should note, and we did yesterday, that the seven countries in the ban do not have any record of sending people here who caused any violence against any Americans.
Yeah. There's no national security professional who says that this Muslim ban does anything productive at all. In fact, it is counterproductive. It's not even a neutral act. But I think more importantly that we keep talking about it in a national security lens, but fundamentally what's at stake is our character as Americans. Are we going to allow pictures of three-year-old children washing up on beaches become our new normal and perfectly acceptable? Are we going to say it is okay for people to suffer and die when we have the ability to stop it and give succor and help?
Bring help to refugees.
To refugees.
All right. Then if Norm Kreider was here in this studio and we were talking to him, do you have confidence that you could leave this studio as friends after a conversation about these differing beliefs and views?
You know, Maureen Kreider has served this country, and so I believe that we have an intimate and innate connection to wanting to defend this country against enemies foreign and domestic, to uphold and defend the Constitution. And I think that alone gives us common language to make that connection. And the conversation I'd have with them is a connection I'd have with my students. How do you know what you know? Where are the Muslim military personnel you know? Have you spoken to anybody about what the Quran or what Islam teaches? And try to open them up to seeing the world through my eyes as well.
I think it's very possible. One of the things I've noticed, and I actually think it's something that we have to work on as well, is that many people who say the things that he said do actually like Muslims. They may have Muslim friends. They may know Muslims. But those Muslims that they know are nice and the exception to the bigger picture that he painted of the religion as a whole. And so I think what I would want to talk about is he said he's studied a lot about the tradition or about people. So I'd want to ask what he studied, what has he read, and maybe offer some other things that he could read or other people he could talk to. Because you can't take one-fourth of the world's population and think you're going to know everything about them from a limited source.
It's part of what we're battling here before we go. Not only a prevailing sense of the other from Americans who don't have experience with them, but also a sense that ISIS, that the jihadists have painted Islam in a way that bears directly on your lives and the way people view you and your fellow Muslims.
Absolutely. And it's not just ISIS, though. I would want to underscore that it is also a number of people and institutions in this country that have set out to characterize Islam in the same way that ISIS intends to characterize Islam. And it's that two sides of the coin working together. They have the exact same storyline about the tradition. The majority of Muslims are sitting around thinking, that's not my tradition. I don't know what they're talking about. That's not how I live my life. That's not what I care about. But those two entities, whether it's violent extremist Muslims or self-identified Muslims or other people who are propagating anti-Muslim literature and rhetoric, and some of the bestsellers on Islam in this country are written by those people. So it's from both sides.
You know, we sometimes forget the day-to-day interactions we have with Muslims, particularly in major urban areas or through television. We forget that Dave Chappelle and A Tribe Called Quest hosted Saturday Night Live the Saturday after the election. And that was black Muslim men performing as guests on Saturday Night Live. We forget about the Taj Mahal was built by Muslims. We forget the best-selling poet in America, Rumi, is a Muslim. You know, and so there are all these moments where we are thinking about and interacting with American Muslims or broader Muslim thought that we're not as conscious of. And I think sometimes highlighting that the human element that ties us all together as a country, Muslim and non-Muslim, is such an important part of this conversation.
Dr. Hussein Rashid is a professor of religion at Barnard College and a Truman National Security Fellow. Jerusha Lamptey is a professor of Islam at Union Theological Seminary and author of the book Never Wholly Other. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you.